Once again, this is our second class. I want to start with just the spirit in which God is birthing. And I use that word with great joy, birthing this class, because I do feel that it is not meant to be time of really learning, although, you know, that's part of the process. And it may just be where I'm at right now. I don't know. But I believe we're many of us in that place of desiring to bring forth the Son. I personally believe that is what this book was given from God for, in incredibly beautiful. You know, when the Holy Spirit overshadows us and overshadows the Word of God as it enters us to sow the Son in us, there is nothing like it. There's nothing like it. You may look to a book or to a preacher, to a certain vessel. Don't do that. Look to the Holy Spirit. Look to God your Father. Look to the Son that is being formed in you. There was a day when this last week, when I couldn't get out of my car for over an hour. I was so overwhelmed with every single word in the book of Micah. It was like an explosion. I have no words. And so there's nothing I really want to say to you to put confidence in this approach or this teaching, or there's something here special or different. The same God that's been in us and started this thing in our lives by putting Jesus in us at new birth, that same Father, God, that same Holy Spirit who overshadowed us, put Jesus in us, that same Jesus that was put inside of us when we were born again, they are there. We are with them, and they are still doing what they do. And if we just let our hearts be with them in the deepest way we know how, they will take us to the reality of the person being formed in us of these things that we can't even, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, heart hath not comprehended, hasn't even entered into our heart, the things of the Son being revealed. Hasn't even entered into our heart. It can't even enter into our heart. It's the Spirit that knows it and freely shares it. Isn't that something? I'm telling you. So I'm just, oh, yeah, yeah. It's good. It's real, real good. It's Jesus. And let's just continue. And I know that's the case. This last class we were just in is perfect. It was so beautiful, so full. And it really is a very similar theme of what tonight's sharing is about. Very similar. And the Lord does that. He uses witness. You know, the prophets were a witness of what God was speaking through the law and the priesthood. They were establishing the word of the Lord. We need those witnesses. We need the word of God over and over again to reestablish the Son he's forming in us. Isn't it true? Yeah. Amen. To stand up and shout in our innermost being, the Son is your life. Let him live. Let him be formed. So the homework that you have, it's not really homework unless you're Jason, and then it is homework. The homework part is the part that's in italics and underlined. And for others, it may just be journaling. But, yeah, it's there. It's there for wherever God has you right now, wherever your heart is in this process. It may be in a whole different place, and not Micah. So be with him. Just be with him. Be with him where the dove is landing. That's what I say. Just be where the dove is, where he's overshadowing and bringing forth Christ in you. That's where you want to be. Amen. Not with me or anyone else. Be with the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. Glory. Oh, well, let's just pray. Lord, you know. And I don't want to break that flow of just receiving your heart, not in a way of getting teachings or a class, Father, not in a way of looking like, oh, look what I saw, look what we see, look what we understand. No, Lord. Father, we don't want to marvel at the way the prophets visually show things or the time and the season we're in, where your Spirit is so deeply trying to draw us in to bring forth the Son. We want a glory like was shared in last class, in the cross of our own death and the coming forth of the Lamb in real ways in our nature. And Lord, we want our hearts to be so caught up in what you delight in, your firstborn Son and sacrifice, what you call glory and fruit and increase. I know, Lord, I know. I need you. I need your Son to be that motive in my heart so much more. Well, that's why I'm crying out in this time, Lord, in this book, crying out with Micah, weeping with him, weeping with the Spirit pressing in, Lord. I'm doing that because I know that my motives will never be pure. I will, even if I look like it, Lord, it's got to be your Son. It's got to be the Son, firstborn heir. It's got to be him in sacrifice. It just can't be me, Lord. It won't be if it's me. But it's got to be. He's got to come. It's the time. So, Father, just Holy Spirit, be released in a continued and new and a deeper way. Please, for the Father's sake, please, please, for the Father's sake, delight in this mercy to bring forth Christ in a people. Thank you, Lord. Tell you every verse in this book, every line is scripted to help a person who wants to bring forth Christ. Every line, I continue to marvel as I hear scriptures that are quoted by Christians and written on napkins and embroidered into hats from Micah that are totally taken out of the context of the book, and I'm like, you have no idea. And I'm not talking about, I have no idea, but when the Spirit starts to share, it has nothing to do with what's happening. This whole book is written, in my opinion, for several, but for us in this way, pertaining to us where we're at. A person who is just barren as all get out and keeps bringing forth the wrong Son. The wrong Spirit, the wrong harvest. And the judgment is coming and they are not fit. It is not the right one. But they are not going to let go. They are not going to let go. They're going to keep pressing in until they can bring forth Christ. Even when the harvest is past. Even when the seasons have come and gone. Even when they're 99 years old, right? You know what I'm saying? And it's like the Lord God Almighty himself just says, I'm going to walk you through this birthing process. I'm going to walk you through this birthing process so I can receive my firstborn Son out of you and you can release him and heaven and earth can feast on the same food. The Lamb, the heir, the firstborn given Son. Hallelujah. And I guess because I'm reading it in that motive, it's just like, oh, all that scripture just hits so deep, so deep. So last class or last gathering, or let's wait for, I don't want our sound folks to miss out. Lindsay, Scott, you guys need a moment? Because this is for you just as much as it is for us. I'm always part of the sound team, so I have sensitivity to their needs. We're going to wait for them so they can join with us. You guys let us know when you're ready, okay? People on Skype, too. Okay. Thank you guys for all you do. I know you miss out on a lot of stuff because of taking care of other people, and that's just Christ. Thank you, Jesus. So, all right. We're going to continue to go verse for verse through. I'm just going to recap the last few verses. Let's go to verse 5 in chapter 1. We're going to try to finish chapter 1. The Holy Spirit knows if we will or not. So it says, for the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? What are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? We talked about it last week, that these are the things that have formed and risen after generation in the form of their you know, their governments, their capitals. And it's just, this is what governs you. This is what has risen, and it's not my son. It's just religion, kind of like what this defiled. It's kind of like what was shared in the last class. Therefore I will make, verse 6, therefore I will make Samaria as a heap of the field, as the planting of a vineyard. I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundation thereof. We talked about that last week, but there's just that manifestation that this was not my son. This was not my son, and I'm going to prove it. I want to prove it. Has God ever proved it to you? He proves it to me every day. I prove it to him. All the graven images beaten to pieces, all the hires burned with fire, all the idols lay desolate. You've gathered all this as the hire of a harlot, and they shall return to the field and the hire of a harlot. So, short version on that, this wasn't union with the Lamb. All the stuff that came forth and that was formed into being a stronghold and government and city and force, what rose up and formed, it didn't come from union with the Lamb. It was harlotry. It was harlotry. Hosea is right at the same time, and you can just hear him crying it out, crying it out, crying it out, contemporary of Micah and Isaiah.
Because they called it worship.
Yeah, yeah. Amen to that. Yeah, this was worship, and it was with a false image and a false God. You know, they didn't know. So we're up to, okay, where we're at now. Therefore, this is verse 8. Therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the dragons in the morning, like an owl's. Okay, I'm going to go back to my notes now. Yeah. So there is this incredible mourning that is upon Micah. He is so affected by what he is experiencing of the Lord's heart, of the burden of the Lord's heart, that the firstborn is not what's manifesting, but beasts on the altar. Man, what's manifesting? Not the firstborn son, which to us it may not be a big deal, but to be in tune with what it means to God, that's a whole different thing. Now, we called the last class the great miscarriage, and we might think that we miscarried the firstborn son, but you have to ask the Lord. My thought is this. What was released like a miscarriage was not the firstborn son, but was the son of harlotry. But another term of miscarriage is an unsuccessful outcome of something planned. That's like a Webster Dictionary, second version. You know, there is an unsuccessful outcome of a planned pregnancy that God had with his people, in the sense of that this Hebrew nation was meant to bring forth the son.
It's his firstborn, but it's not. It is from oil.
It's not the planned pregnant. It's not the planned son. That's good. Yeah. It's funny how they're all linked, isn't it? They're just super linked. Yeah. I won't tread on those sacred grounds. I'll let Randy teach that one. But yes, I hear what you're saying, and amen. Yeah. So an unsuccessful outcome of something planned. There was something planned. And I mean, I don't, you know, I think it was supposed to happen, and it didn't. You know, it's kind of like going, hey, that kid looks like the milkman. And I was expecting it to look like Daddy. You know, God, the Father, wanted to bring forth. And it doesn't, that looks nothing like the Son. That looks nothing like my Son. That spirit coming out of you, that thing, that beast on the altar releasing that smell of selfishness and revenge and my way and nitpicking and angry and jealousy and strife and what about, you know, let's get real. It's our story right now. He's like, what is this child? This doesn't look like my son. There was a planned pregnancy here. The Holy Spirit came on you like she came on Mary. She overshadowed, Holy Spirit overshadowed you, so you would conceive of my son, And then the Holy Spirit stayed there so that son would form in you, Galatians 4:19. And then at the day of the coming forth of my son, there would be a release of his spirit out of you, this temple, his body. And I expected it that day, after he had time to be sown and formed, that there would be a release of his spirit and it would rise to me. And I would go, my son, it's been 9 months, you know, not really, but figuratively, you know, not literally, but it's harvest time. I'm ready to take a big old bite of that fruit of the crucified Christ in my people and a feast of the Lamb out for my people, fellowship offering, peace offering, wave offering, first fruits offering, you know, the whole harvest thing. He's getting his son. I'm waiting for that baby. Have you ever been excited as a grandparent or a parent or a niece or a cousin or a friend that this baby's coming forth? What if it came out and it was dead? Or it was, you're the parent and it was someone else's? Would you feel disappointed? We don't think of it that way, do we? We only think of it in our, not you guys, but isn't it common just to think of it religiously? Oh, well, God is merciful. Christianity suffered a loss today. Or selfishly, religiously or selfishly. Oh, I'm just such a failure. You know, we take all the grief into our own failure instead of going into God's heart that got broken. It all redounds into my emotions are all swallowed up in my failure. It's all about my failure, and I'm just a loser, and gosh, God just was going to get rid of me, and oh, man, I'm just horrible. That works nothing. It's not godly sorrow, in my opinion. Selfish sorrow. Swallowing. It's compassionate ministry on your flesh. In my opinion, I'm not saying this as a leader or anybody. I'm just a person who doesn't know much and just wants to bring forth the Son. But these are my personal thoughts. And it doesn't get me anywhere but further from his heart or just in shame and way, way far away. Instead of just like Micah saying, oh my gosh, look at what is coming out of these people. Look at what God is coming out of his place, and he's treading upon these high places and he's exposing them by his presence for what they are. And they're not the sun, and it's harvest time. The baby should be coming out now. A formed son should be manifesting, a lamb giving himself in sacrifice, and it's none of it. Well, Lord, I guess I just need a little more mercy. We do, and he is, because of his son. But that's not the right. Our heart is still almost drawing on Christian snippets of mercy and grace instead of going straight into the gutted core of a father who gave everything and is only on Calvary, a greater sacrifice than we know. This guy is the son of that guy. He gave with purpose, a plan. He had a plan. The Father did. And then this is what comes. Well, that should do something to us. It did something to Micah. He's howling. Listen, this is the howlings and the mournings of a child that is born dead, we have much to say, but let me quote Zechariah 12:10 first to you. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Listen to this. What is the spirit of grace and supplication? What is the spirit of mourning? This could change our hearts. They will look upon me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness over him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. That's the spirit of grace when it hits your heart. That's the spirit of supplications. That's the spirit of mourning. Amos, who prophesied at the same time as Micah, said this in chapter 8, verse 10. And I will turn your feasts into mourning. Why? No sun there. All your songs into lamentations. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all your loins. baldness will be upon every head, and I will make you as those who mourn for an only son. And the end of that shall be a very, very bitter day. These are the prophets in tune with the living word and heart of God, the burden of the Father and the Spirit's heart, you see, for the Son in the people. And so they're howling like a jackal, mourning like an owl, walking undone in the midst of these people. He probably looked like just a fool, just as such a fool, such a fool. But he was feeling what everyone else was asleep to. And there's no virtue in feeling that. There's only brokenness so that the Son can get a deeper rooting in our soil. You know, the proof is in the fruit. We talked about that. The Hebrews were an agricultural nation. Their calendars and feasts were centered on the harvest progression. You know, there's a season for breaking up fallow ground. There's a season for that. You shouldn't feel ashamed. When it's time for everyone to go out and break up the ground, what do? We all go out and break up the ground. We can even have a groundbreaking party. You know what I mean? We're not all going, man, my ground's hard. Oh, boy. You know, let's just feel guilty and shameful and, you know, rejection. Let's just let the enemy come and you steal the seed that's not even there yet. You know, but you know what I mean? There's a time in the farming community and a season for tilling up the ground. There's a season for sowing. You know, when it's sowing season, you don't go, you know, how much are you getting out of the word right now? Oh my gosh, did you see that? It was amazing. You're just putting that, like Randy keeps saying, I'm just sowing seeds. I'm sowing seeds. He's like a sower. He's sowing. You don't sit there and go, man, I'm missing everything. I quit. I'm not getting it. He's like, you're full of seed. Amen. And it's season it's going to bring forth from God's going to give that increase in God's timing, right? And there's a season for that seed to die and go down with deep roots and start a little sprig come up. There's a season for that. That little sprig shouldn't say, or that little seed shouldn't say, I got nothing to show, nothing to show. All I got are these great big root systems going deep, deep down. You know, I'm such a failure. You're totally on track. You know, and that little sprig comes up, that little seed shouldn't say, look at that big tree, and here I am, just this little sapling. Oh, I'm missing every, what's wrong? And when it's time for fruit, then praise the Lord, here comes Jesus. He's manifesting in what Randy shared last class, the body. The body. He's got a lamb on the altar now. Got a son to give the Father in sacrifice. Glory to God. Well, guess what? When Micah came on the scene, it was harvest time. It wasn't time to break the soil. It wasn't time to the little baby seed go die and get some roots, little sapling come up. It was time for the son. And let me tell you, fruit was coming, lots of it. So much fruit that their belly was huge, their mountains were big, their cities were formed, their governments were set, and everything was flowing in an order that ain't nothing going to break it. And God said, that ain't my son. This is not, it's harvest time, and what's manifesting in the season of manifestation isn't my son. And so here comes Micah. And he's saying, this planned harvest was a miscarriage. This is not the fruit the Lord is looking for. And so it's time to mourn. It's not time to feast. It's not time to have a celebration. And, you know, I don't know, some of us from County Mayo, they have harvest celebrations. You know, there's the Methodist churches all have a harvest service, and there's huge feastings with the first fruits, the beginning of the harvest. You know, harvest is a big celebration. And, you know, the Lord's saying, do not celebrate this fruit. And please don't call it my son. And please don't be okay with it. Someone's got to stop this madness. You know, someone's got to get real. And there's Micah. He's like, I'm getting real. And people say, well, what? Who died? Why are you mourning? Why are you in mourning apparel? Because he was acting like there was a death. He said, I'm the death of the harvest. There's no fruit. Where's the sun? You know, and so here you go. And we've got verse 9 after I think we're right there after Jack. Wasn't that verse 8? Yeah, it was. So we're on to verse 9 now. For her wound is incurable, for it has come unto Judah. So this condition had, and he's talking about, where did this come from? Where did this fruit come from? Where, how did this happen? You know, how did this happen? The condition had reached the heart. The wound is incurable, for she, God's people, allowed foreigners to reach into their very ways and mind and heart. They didn't find the God who was in their midst and let that mind, that word be unto them, that spirit reside in them. Amen. Form and manifest through. They let the foreign influence, the world, the heathen, their own carnal, whatever. These are all types and shadows in the Old Testament. The condition reached the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The outward wound brought inward poison. The wound reached the heart. When Paul, in Acts chapter 28, verses 3 through 6, got bit by a serpent, he shook it off. He didn't swell up and die. You know, he shook it off. It did not reach the heart. The wound didn't reach the heart. Paul did not allow it to. He had a will, free will there. He didn't allow it to. But this sickness had reached into the realm of God's holy place. Even Judah, even the gates of his inner sanctuary, Jerusalem, the very place where the Son dwells. Well, Jerusalem of old is just a type and shadow, but we are. The Holy of Holies is right here where the Spirit of Jesus is dwelling. The very presence and being of God is in it. These things can come right down in, and that wound can reach the heart and be incurable. Because what happens when it reaches the heart? Well, James talks about it. Well, let's read James, and then we'll go back. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 22. There's a lot more to say here. I hope I'm not skipping, but I'm... But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But when lust has conceived, and notice these words are words of bring forth a child. When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights. Verse 18, who of his own will begot us, that we should be a kind of first fruits, firstborn son. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. Do not let it find entrance and reach your heart. Because when it does, something starts forming in you, and it's going to manifest out of you. And it's not God's fault, and it's not the temptation's fault. It's our fault because we let it in. We let it in. And it wasn't the mind. Doesn't it say, let this mind be in you? Let this mind be in you. Bring forth the fruit of the Spirit of Christ in your attitudes and ways. And I felt the Lord gave a few other scriptures. Verse 9, it says, he has come unto the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. This wound, it's morphing into the imagery of an enemy coming to the gate of Jerusalem to get entrance into the very sanctum of God, the very place where the presence of the Lord is. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So things are coming that are exalting itself above the knowledge of God. I mean, I want my son, the spirit of my son, the knowing of God. What God knows in his being is who he is and who his son is. Something comes and exalts itself to us. And if we don't cast it down and bring it into captivity to the Christ who's in there, who's forming in there, then it becomes a stronghold of the enemy and not of the Lamb. And her wound is incurable, for it has reached the heart. Rather than letting the word find entrance, it is usurped by an enemy invader exalting himself against the true knowing of God. And when we do not take these enemies captive to the obedience of the Lamb and allow them to reach the heart, we bring forth the fruit that is not the firstborn son. You know, it's that practical. We can say, I want to bring forth the firstborn. And I think to do that requires lots of repentance. Maybe if I fast, maybe if I pray a lot, you know what I mean? Maybe then I'll bring forth the firstborn son. How about when the word of God comes, you let it find entrance and say, be it unto me according to thy word. And you let the spirit of that begin to reside in you and fill your temple so that when a crisis comes, another spirit comes out of you and sacrifice, and his name is Jesus. Or how about this? When the enemy comes, or your carnal mind comes, or something comes to the gates of your city called your mind and wants to enter into your heart and usurp the firstborn and bring forth its own kind of fruit out of your mouth and attitudes, you resist it and bring it into captivity to Christ and bring it into obedience and don't let it in and don't let it in and say, no, you're not entering the gates of this city. The Son of God is forming in the gates of this city. There is a planned pregnancy with a planned fruit coming out of this city and sacrifice with a planned fragrance from the foundation of the world. And I plan on letting that Son come out of me and yielding to him in my mortal body. And you are not going to usurp that fruit. You know, it's going to happen at the gates. I know, you know, we put a lot of clout, and this is just me, to myself, in crying and repentance and fasting and praying, and I'm all for all of it. But if you do that all day long and you let the enemy in the gate, forget it, man. You're bringing forth another spirit. You could fast all week, repent and cry all week long, and someone's going to knock at your door and push you sideways, and something's going to come out of you. It's going to bite back at him like a beast, and it is not going to be the firstborn son. It's right here. You gotta. So he says, this wound is incurable. It's reached the heart. She has not protected the seed. She has not protected the son. She has not stayed true to her husband, if you will. She has let another mind and another spirit and another. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 11? Isn't that right? 1 and 2. I fear lest the serpent beguile you as he beguiled Eve, that I might not present you a chaste virgin unto Christ, that you would receive another spirit, another Jesus, another gospel. He's saying, don't let that stuff in. Don't let it beguile you. Oh, but it's not fair. But what about me? But isn't this Jesus? Wouldn't the Lamb? Don't let that serpent beguile you and open the gates of your mind so it can get into your heart and bring forth another kind of fruit. You let him come, just like Eve did. He didn't make you bite the fruit, and he didn't make you open the gate. You chose. You chose, and now you have fruit. And we can say, Lord, I didn't mean to. Lord, I fasted all week. Lord, I repented all day. Lord. And he says, listen, I'm looking at your fruit. I'm looking at the attitudes that are coming out of you. I don't want to know what you did all week. I don't want to know how much food you didn't eat and how many tears you cried. I am looking for a certain kind of spirit to come out of you when this stuff hits. That's fruit that you let my son form in you and didn't let the enemy in. Called your mind, yourself, your carnal, you, all that is you. I will believe you when I see him in your attitudes. And that's what he's saying to me. And he's saying, now I'm telling you, the words of encouragement that come in this book are out of this world. They're incredible, but they ain't going to do a hill of beans to us if we're all about covering up. And that's why he's got to start by treading on our high places and exposing what's not the son and the fruit of the firstborn. Because if he doesn't do that first, what is he going to be ministering to but just a pile of flesh that we are deceived about and trying to justify and add Jesus to? He can't do that. Like, we have to be the concision. We have to be that which was cut off, so that the heir can come and form in us and get all the glory with no mingling. You know, not anything. It's exactly what was preached last class. Nothing of my own righteousness. Nothing of me. Nothing that is me. Nothing. Now there's only one. It's not me. See, that has to come to us. That's what's happening in this chapter. And, you know, these devastations, when God begins to show what it is, are meant to work that cross in us, so we won't glory in anything anymore but the cross of our own. We won't. We will only glory in the coming forth of the firstborn in real ways, fellowshipping in his suffering, being made conformable to his death, you know, the ways that are him. in the way the Father delights in. And like, you just get real. You just get so real. You know, so it's good, isn't it? It's good. What does that look like in our story? What does that look like in our story? When the enemy comes to us with another spirit, when the enemy or our carnal mind or circumstances come to us with another mind, another way, does he find entrance into our thoughts, our meditations, and even our heart? If he does, there is going to be fruit. That of a foreign mind will be brought forth from us, for it has reached the heart. Not knowing the Son. Not knowing the Son. So now, the last half of this is this crazy kind of, I don't know what it's called, but he's saying, so now when we should be excited, all these places in Judah that were named for bringing forth Christ in a people, they all have these incredible names that have these meanings that really wrap around a people who would bring forth the Son. But because none of them did, Micah says, so don't do this here and don't do that there. So I'm going to read the Message translation of chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. And this little map that I gave you last time that has the yellow corner called Judah Towns of Micah 1, all those towns that are in this last portion of Micah chapter 1 are on this little map here that you can look at. But let me read it to you, and you can do a little research on your own time if you want to go deeper in and kind of ponder this. Don't gossip about this in Telltown. Don't waste your tears in Dustville. Roll in the dust. In Alarm Town, the alarm is sounded. The citizens of Exit Burl will never get out alive. Lament, last stand city. There's nothing in you left standing. The villagers of Bittertown wait in vain for sweet peace. Harsh judgment has come from God and entered Peace City. All you who live in Chariotsville, get in your chariots for flight. You led the daughter of Zion into trusting not God but chariots. Similar sins in Israel also got their start in you. Go ahead and give your goodbye gifts to Goodbyeville. Mirage Town beckoned but disappointed Israel's kings. Inheritance City has lost its inheritance. Glory Town has seen its last of glory. Shave your heads in mourning over the loss of your precious towns. We'll look at that last verse separately at the end, but there's a couple points here. But basically, it's just all these things that were created to be inhabited by the Son. You know, they, instead of just being filled and fulfilled and bursting forth with him, becoming his earth, not just earth, but his earth, not just people, his body. They're just vain. They're empty. They're empty of that. And they're meant to feel that void, you know, not be filled in other ways. Isn't there just a time to feel the void, to feel it? You know, we always want to get through the painful times really fast. Lord, I hate this season I'm in. It's so painful. But what if God was working such a deep, blessed are they who mourn, the proper kind of mourning, for they're going to be comforted to me eventually with bringing forth the Son. You know, so why avoid these mournings, these painful things? When they're meant to work in us a deep brokenness over what we could have brought the Father of his Son, and next time we don't want to miss. You know, it's just like, let it go deep. Let it go deep. Don't let the enemy in. Fight away those buzzards from the sacrifice. But let the Spirit do that deep work while you're vulnerable and broken for the Son. Let it work like Randy had said last night. All things. Let it be part of the all things that work together for those who want to be conformed to the image of the Son. Let it be that. Let it do that. I believe it's meant to from the heart of God. I do. And I've been there, and I will be there again, and I am there now. And I know I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, and it hurts so much because I love God so much. But I wouldn't squander it by justifying it or lessening it or just filling it with other things like ministry or TV or just passivity, so I didn't have to look at it and really let it do its work in me. You know, there's times when I have to say, you know what, Kelly, we're going to sit here and we're going to let this do its work. We're going to let it do its work. And let it be ever present in my being for the Son's sake. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. You may not, you know, some of you may be there now, some of you may not, but the Lord knows in the future this will be a seed. Everything has a season. Even our failures can be brought into this if we keep our heart in the place where we want to birth the Son. Nothing in heaven and earth or under the earth can work against a heart that wants to give the Father his Son, because that's the Father's purpose in creating it all anyway. You know, I believe that in my darkest hour. It is an anchor for my soul. I said, Lord, I know you have no hope in Kelly. I know you already knew I would fail you a million times until it was your Son. But I do believe you love your Son and that he's in me. And I have got, I am banking on, I'm throwing everything into that pot. I believe it. Just, I've done it. I'll do it again. I believe it. I do. I've been tested and I believe it. And I believe it. I believe my Father loves his Son, and that Son, I know that Son's in me. And Kelly, I have, like Paul said, no confidence. Oh, but I believe in that Son. And to be found in him not having, yes, Lord, yes. Well, this kind of stuff right here is going to do it to you. Talk about getting knocked off your donkey. You know, this is going to do it. It will do it. You say, I need a breakthrough, Lord. I'm so stuck in just this kind of old religious fruit, and it seems to be okay, and life as usual. And well, this is, he's going to do it, knock you off your donkey. It's going to hurt a little bit. Praise the Lord, man. Think about what's coming in the morning. You know, nobody likes to give birth. It don't feel good. No one wants to go through this kind of mess. But man, when that baby comes, you forget about all of it. Because the Son, the real one, not the shadowy, doctrinal, anointed, you know, anointings, giftings. No, the Son. When he comes out of you, forget it, man. It was a light affliction, not even worthy to be compared to the weight of glory, eternal weight of glory. Don't you know? We have to encourage one another. We have to. Randy does. But we have to too, don't we? We all have to. We have to keep that water rising. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, man. There's just a couple more points here that I want to make. We're almost done because it was, you know, I don't want to go too long. We've got big, some of us, a very big day tomorrow, and it's getting late. So a couple points, though, that I do feel the Spirit doesn't want me to leave without submitting to you for consideration. Where is that scripture? All right, here it is. So in these verses, where's that gate? Adullam. Where's Adullam? Where are you, Adullam? Class, who can find it for me?
115.
There you go. Thank you, sir. Yet I will bring an error unto thee. Now, I think this is different than what the message says. This is just me, and God knows I don't know. You have to check it out. Be little scholars and figure it out. I don't know. But this is what I'm feeling. Verse 15 doesn't say therefore, for, declare. It says yet. Despite all that crazy, yet I will bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitant of Marishah, and he shall come to Adullam, the glory of Israel. And I thought, who was in Adullam? But David, when he was hiding from Saul. Hiding from his old soul, you know, Saul, but his soul that was wanting to, you know what I mean? Ooh. Well, not bring forth the Son, but he was learning to bring him forth, you know, let him form, let this mind be in you. Don't let the enemy find entrance. Don't even snip off a bit of his robe. Just, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, there is an heir forming in that cave. There is an heir that I'm bringing unto you, and he's going to come in Adullam, the glory of Israel. A king is born, his name is not David. It's the firstborn in David, the true heir. And in those places where the enemy is trying to find entrance even to the heart, he's knocking on the gate. Saul's out there with his men. Your crazy mind is saying, let's kill him, let's kill him. Why should we run? God's already anointed us. All this junk, God's letting it all swirl. He's setting you up. He's testing you. He's seeing. It's all. And he's going, David, David, what you gonna do? Said, I'm going to bring an heir unto you. He shall come in that place. the glory of Israel. Yet, and here it is, guys, here's the thing with Micah. No matter how bad God threshes that old fruit out with all of its chaff, he's always focused on getting the seed in. Amen. He's never just threshing chaff. He's never bringing us to the threshing floor, dividing wheat and chaff, just to say, you are chaff. I'm winnowing you to the wind, and goodbye forever. He's saying, let's get the chaff out so the seed can come forth in fullness. That's always the case. So he goes through this horrible thing where you're just like, goodbye, villain. You know, my gosh, you feel like you've been whipped 15 times by his verbiage. And then he says, but I'm going to bring an heir unto you. You got to wait for it. In your own life, wait for it. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Get caught up all in your own mourning. Cry your river of tears over your failures. Because if you waited just a little bit longer, he would have said, real quiet-like, just to see if you were trying to get close to his heart and hear, yet I will bring an heir unto you. Even into Adullam, that very place the enemy used to find entrance. He's coming again. But so am I. Who's going to get the conception this time? The enemy or the heir? Because I want to bring this forth. Let's do it. Let's do it. Are you ready for round two? I'm ready. See what I'm saying? And that happens again and again in Micah. In verses that you have heard, that you'd go, oh yeah, I know what that means. No, this is somebody who's set on bringing forth the son. And this verse was given of God to them. Right there, right there, right there. He knows. He's like, you know, Elohim means a great, doesn't it, great-breasted one? Doesn't it, mother? Yeah, I believe it does. It's one of the, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. And it's a El Shaddai. And it's this big picture. And I just think he's like a mama. Good Lord. Yes, you know I have. But I always thought he's like that mother hen, you know, that you saw in Matthew 20, was it 37 or something, when Jesus said, I would have gathered you as a mother hen. You know, I see El Shaddai there going, I want to bring forth my son and a people. Yes, it's the father, but he's El Shaddai going, come on into me, being found in him, not having my own. Come on, gather into my mind. Gather into my spirit. Don't let that serpent entice thee, O chaste virgin. I've espoused you to one mind. I've espoused you to one Jesus. I've espoused you to one gospel. I've espoused you to one death. Don't listen to those other deaths. Don't listen to those other Jesuses. Don't drink that other spirit. Don't drink from that cup of idols. Drink from the crucified blood of the Lamb. Don't do it. Don't get it in you. Don't let it get conception and bring forth another spirit. Don't do it this time in Adullam, for I'm bringing the error to you right now. Now, how serious is that? You know, people get so serious because they go to clinics, fertility clinics, and I'll pay everything. Triple mortgage my house. Give up my pets. No more vacations for 10 years with the chance that we could have our own child. That's just in the natural. But Christians, well, whatever. You know, I don't know. This is uncomfortable. You know, I have a life. And, you know, just thinking about this stuff is kind of, you know, heavy. I mean, I don't know. We should sell all to bring forth the son. Whatever it takes, Lord. Make it real this time. Come on. Come on. Holy Spirit, be my fertility clinic. You know what I'm saying? Do whatever it takes. Please. Please. I am barren if you don't give me the ability to hear the spirit of it this time. I don't ever hear the spirit. I hear the teaching. I hear the ministry. I have my own idea of what death is, what lamb is. I never become a blind man. I never just say, what do you say? And now I never get it. And it's never going to change until we break And he says, I'm going to show you now. Now I'll show you, because you're not in the way anymore. You're always in the way with your own mind. You're too smart. You're too wise. You're one of the people that I have to make a fool of, like in 1 Corinthians, in your own conceits, because you just know too much of my son. You don't know him at all. Come on. Be blind. Be the foolish. Be the not who confound the wise. Who pay all glory to the one who has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Be one of them. Let me do this. Quit getting in the way with your flesh. Quit blocking my entrance. Please don't let the carnal mind shut the gate on the King of Glory this time, right? Can you hear him crying? You know, that's the Spirit sent to form Christ in the church, to build us up a habitation unto God by the Spirit. This is the ministry of the person of the Holy Spirit. He is not a teacher first and foremost. He is sent for the Son to be formed into people. This is what he does. Let him, let him, let him. That's what I want to say to him. For me, this is for me right now. All of it, I just say yes for me. Lord, we just say yes. Yes, Lord. Sometimes you have to tread on our high places and thresh out all this chaff, because we need it, Lord. But you're doing it because you know we want your son, and you want your son. And we're together in that, Lord. We're together in that. Be our fertility clinic. Do whatever it takes, Lord. Let us mourn the proper mourning. Let us join with you, Lord. Let us feel and see by your heart, Lord. Father, may this time, this next harvest, this time, may it be the sun, and may a feast, may a feast, may a party like the prodigal with the father, when it was finally not the prodigal anymore, but the real son. May there be dancing and exaltation over the proper fruit coming forth. May we not be the elder son going, what is that? What is that foreign noise? Not knowing anything of the spirit of the coming forth of the firstborn, just a mind full of information and duties. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for your heart's sake. Forgive us. Lord, I'm overwhelmed by you. I am living in a world of Micah's spiritual release of words over your heart. It's your word. But, oh God, may we just be caught up in the spirit of these things. Greater, greater than our duties each day. Greater than our carnal ways and the things that we release that aren't him. May we just be so swallowed up in the spirit of these things that it begins to form in us, renewing us in the spirit of our minds. So that the right spirit will come out when the crisis hits. Do it in the cave at Adullam, at our job, in our relationships, those old ruts where we were always usurped and let stuff in that brought forth another fruit of another spirit. Father, we're sorry for all this fruit. We're sorry for not even knowing how deep it hits you, that this thing that was planned of us bringing forth the Son in many ways didn't come forth that way, but you are still so faithful, and you're using it all because our hearts are with you. Let it continue, Lord. Let it continue beyond all our prayers and all our desire. Let it be according to thine own heart, is what David said, according to thine own heart. And so we pray according to thy word, O Father. Do all according to thine own heart. Let it be according to thy need, Father. We submit ourselves to your heart. We submit ourselves to your word, to your spirit, and to your son within us. Make all things new. Let him come forth, Lord. Break us from our old hard ways, so very hard that there is Samaria and Jerusalem, fortified cities that say they're of God, and they're just not. Forgive us. Forgive us Jacob's transgression, Judah's sin. Let it be your son now, Father. Continue to walk us through Micah as those who are soon in ways heavy with child. May he come forth. We pray it in your name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.